The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the September-October issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin with Who's Who in Sports, second line. And we have Gloria Amanda. Gloria Amanda. SK Australia, Klagenfurt, a forward, soccer player. His height is 5'10", his weight is 170 pounds. He was born November 11, 1998, and his hometown was Edmonton, Canada. As a junior, Amanda led the nation in goals, 15, and added 7 assists. Following the season in which Oregon State went 9-5 and made the NCAA tournament, he was awarded the MAC Herman Trophy as the best men's player in the country. After the season, he signed a pro contract with SK Australia Klagenfurt. But did you know Amanda was born in Narogusi, a refugee camp in Tanzania? He lived there until his family moved to Canada when he was 10. Next, we have Julius Randle, New York Knicks forward. His height is 6'8", his weight is 250 pounds. He was born November 29, 1994, in his hometown, Plano, Texas. Randle had a breakthrough season in 2021, leading the Knicks to a surprising 41-31 record and averaging a career-best 24.1 points per game. In his 7th season in the league, Randle was named to his first All-Star team and won the NBA Most Improved Player Award. Did you know the Knicks ended a 7-year playoff drought in 2021? The all-time record is 15, held by the Clippers and the Kings. Sacramento's streak is active. And finally, we have Quentin Nelson, Indianapolis Colts guard. His height is 6'5", his weight is 330 pounds. He was born March 19, 1996, in his hometown, Holmdel, New Jersey. For the third time in his 3-year career, Nelson was named first-team All-Pro in 2020. He allowed just 1 sack, and Pro Football Focus ranked him as the most valuable offensive lineman in the NFL. Indianapolis took Nelson with the 6th pick in the 2018 draft after he was named a unanimous All-America at Notre Dame. But did you know Nelson was the highest-drafted guard since 1985, when Bill Frelick was taken 2nd by the Falcons? No guard has ever been taken with the top pick. We're going to go to the warm-up on page 16. Financial advice. Spending it all in one place. After much speculation, Lionel Messi actually left Barcelona, signing a new deal with Paris Saint-Germain. Accounting for bonuses, the Argentinian legend will net a salary of $35 million per season, which translates to about $41 million. That's a lot of scratch. Luckily for Leo, however, we have some ideas for what he should do with it. What $41 million gets you? $15,241,635 Kit Kat bars. 8,216,432 issues of SI Kids. Please, Leo. 51,250 Lego Ultimate Collector Series Millennium Falcons. 98 Lamborghini Aventador TDs 5. 1 PlayStation 5. Good luck tracking down more than one. We want you for Sports Kids of the Year. Do you know a kid between 7 and 15 years old who excels on and off the field? Nominations are now open for Sports Kid of the Year. These past couple of years have been strange ones for youth sports, but if you know a kid, group of kids, or a team that persevered and excelled, let us know. Email the address below, or if you're a kid, have a parent email with the nominee's first name or names, last initials, ages, and why they should win. Send nomination to skoty at SI.com. Make sure to include the nominee's first name, age, and why they should be Sports Kid of the Year. Grand Design. The architect behind the Rangers' new home talks design, and if finding your passion? Well, we have a big picture of the design of a global life field. For a rainy day, unlike its predecessor across the street, Globe Life Field boasts a retractable roof, one of seven in baseball, the largest single-panel roof in the world. It's 5.5 acres long and weighs 24 million pounds. No short porch. To give it distinctly Texas feel, the architect behind Globe Life Field emulated the houses of the country. The entrances to the stadium are meant to evoke porches. Significant figures. The distances on the outfield wall all have importance to team history. 410, Michael Young's number 10. 407, Ivan Rodriguez's number 7. 372, the Rangers' first season in 1972, etc. Past life. Opened in 1994, Globe Life Park will now host North Texas' SC, a soccer team, and the Dallas Jackals, a rugby squad. The Rangers' former home played like more of a hitter's park than its successor. Hold the fort. The designers at HKS, the firm behind both parks, took the arches that gave Globe Life Park its fort-like look and rotated them 90 degrees at Globe Life Field, allowing for a more open feel. Eating ballpark food while watching Willie Nelson perform in a giant high-tech barn, it sounds like the average Texan's idea of heaven. But on March 12, 2020, paradise got postponed. The red-headed stranger and Chris Stapleton were set to open the Texas Rangers' new home, Globe Life Field, with a concert on March 14 of last year. 17 days later, the Rangers were to play the Los Angeles Angels in their first regular season game in their new stadium. Neither event happened due to the pandemic. Instead, the park had likely the strangest first year of any venue ever. On May 29, 2020, it hosted its first event, a high school graduation. What followed was more graduations, a rodeo championship, and a neutral site World Series. This irregular opening, however, gave the team an opportunity to test out a facility for which every detail had been considered. From the distance to the foul poles, 329 feet in left of honor of number 29, Adrian Beltre, 326 in right for the number 26, former manager Johnny Oates, to the way it looked from the street. To handle those details, the Rangers had hired Dallas-based architecture firm HKS Incorporated, which had designed nearby AT&T Stadium for the Dallas Cowboys and Globe Life Park, the place they were leaving. Like the team itself, HKS stayed close to home when looking for inspiration for the new park. This being Texas, we gravitated towards some of the forms and materials relevant to the Texas aesthetic. The idea of the pitch roofs and the silo structures you see breaking the horizon line on a beautiful sunset, says HKS Director of Sports and Texas native Fred Ortiz. That pitch roof distinguishes Globe Life Field from Globe Life Park, an open-air stadium whose facade looks more like a fort than a farmhouse. Texas gets hot in the summer, and a refreshing summer shower does no favors to the infield. While local weather made a roof an obvious option, the Rangers didn't want to lose the feeling of playing outdoors. So Ortiz and HKS conceived of a single-panel retractable roof made of a transparent plastic polymer that would let it in plenty of sunlight. The end result is four times the size of a football field, weighs 24 million pounds, and it retracts in 12 minutes at the push of a button. I always wanted to be an architect, but I didn't realize I could do sports design. That's from Fred Ortiz, HKS Director of Sports. Chuck's good luck. Rangers public address announcer Chuck Morgan was the big winner of the move, getting the best seat in the house, a new office right behind home plate. The production of just the roof sounds like that of an action blockbuster, merging practical and digital effects teams. A physical model of the ballpark went to a team of consultants who put it through wind tunnels to measure how the roof might affect airflow and consequently home runs. Meanwhile, the Unreal Engine, the software powering Fortnite Star Wars Jedi Fallen Outdoor Order, and probably 50 other video games you enjoy, created a digital model that could demonstrate with the stroke of a key how the roof would close. Ortiz estimates that toward the end of the process, there was somewhere between 150 and 200 people working on the project. Teams were assembled to consider the perspective of the many different kinds of people who would enjoy the ballpark. For fans watching the Rangers games at home, the stadium had to be conceived as a stage with proper attention to lighting and how everything would look on television. Fans in the ballpark got even more consideration. The seating bowl was redesigned from the old Globe Life to give every spectator a more intimate view. Even PA announcer Chuck Morgan had his seat moved down behind home plate. Finally, HKS and the Rangers had to remember the people who actually used the field. The hitters don't want deep drives dying at the warning track, and the pitchers want the opposite of whatever the hitters say. The breadth of problems to solve in such a massive undertaking means that a firm like HKS has to employ lots of different kinds of people, from designers to dedicated researchers to anthropologists. Ortiz knew from a young age he wanted to design buildings, but his path from drawing them as a kid to creating them as an adult wasn't always a straight line. He attended the University of Texas at Arlington on a football scholarship, but decided to hang around for the architecture program when the school got rid of the football program. Soon he discovered that he could marry those two interests. "The advice that I could give kids is obviously keep your options open," Ortiz says. "Gravitate towards that which fills a passion that maybe you don't even know about. I always wanted to be an architect, but I didn't realize I could do sports design." Meanwhile, fans have finally gotten to enjoy their new ballpark. Despite their team's struggles on the field, the Rangers faithful ranked toward the top of the total attendance all season. Chris Stapleton's All-American Roadshow featuring special guest Willie Nelson even got rescheduled for August of this year, with a series against the in-state rival Houston Astros immediately following. Maybe it's not heaven, but should the skies ever open up, they're one button away from closing the roof. Now to NHL news, depth of the deep. The Vegas Golden Knights dominated in their first season. Will the Seattle Kraken follow their lead? The Kraken is a monster, but will the Kraken be monsters? Sure, we all know the Kraken is a beast that rises up from the murky depths of the ocean to eat ships whole. But will the Seattle Kraken be a beast in the sense of, bro, there was a beast mode Kraken quake at Climate Pledge Arena? The Vegas Golden Knights took the NHL by storm in their inaugural season, winning the Pacific with 109 points and reaching the 2018 Stanley Cup Finals. The last expansion teams before the Golden Knights, the 2000 and 2001 Columbus Blue Jackets and Minnesota Wild, both finished last in their divisions. The most obvious difference between the Knights and the pitiful new franchises of the turn of the millennium, Columbus, Minnesota, Atlanta Thrashers, and Nashville, was the expansion draft. Back then, existing teams could protect 9 forwards, 5 defensemen, and 1 goaltender from selection. That left Columbus and Minnesota to pick exclusively from bottom 6 forwards, depth defensemen, and backup goalies. In 2017, by contrast, the NHL allowed the protection of just 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie, or 8 total skaters, and a goalie, an option for teams built around their defense. Seattle got the same lenient expansion rules this year. Should it plan the parade route? Maybe not. One advantage the Golden Knights had over the Kraken is that those rules were new and they could savvily capitalize on other teams' panic over whom to protect. More important than whom the Golden Knights picked was whom they didn't. General manager George McPhee lined up 10 side deals with teams in which a rival General managers agreed to lopsided trades on the condition that Vegas not take a certain player in the expansion draft. Vegas netted 7 players and 10 draft picks from those trades, and more crucially, got better players than the ones who were protected. And maybe the most infamous such deal, the Florida Panthers dealt Jonathan Marchessault above right to Vegas to make sure the Golden Knights picked Riley Smith above left. The latter forward was about to have a 5-year, $25 million extension kick in. Maybe Florida wasn't sure it wanted to pay him $5 million a year after a season in which he scored 37 points and was minus 13. But in their first year in Vegas, Marchessault had 75 points in 77 games, while Smith had 60 in 67. In another such deal, the Golden Knights promised to pick William Karlsson and take on a player on long-term injured reserve in return for a first and second round pick from Columbus. Karlsson finished third in the NHL with 43 goals that season. Vegas flipped the Blue Jackets picks for more NHLers. So how many side deals did the Kraken make? 0. Don't blame General Manager Ron Francis, though. His fellow executives likely learned from their mistakes with Vegas and weren't eager to empower another juggernaut. Seattle's only sin was going second. The Golden Knights' ascent had to be equally irksome for franchises that had struggled themselves as expansion teams not too long ago. Ultimately, though, they got what they paid for. Columbus and Minnesota forked over $80 million, such as each as an expansion fee to the NHL. Seattle and Vegas both had to pay $500 million. Instead, the rest of the league tried to tempt the Kraken. You can have our stars, but you have to take their contracts, too. Among the big-name players not protected were defenseman P.K. Subban and Kevin Shattenkirk, forward Vladimir Tarasenko and Matt Duchene, and goalie Carey Price. Most every player on that list has two things in common: name recognition and a current employer eager to get out of their deal. The desire to at least take Price had to be significant. He had just led the Montreal Canadiens to a surprise Stanley Cup Finals appearance. He has ties to the area. His wife is from Washington, and he grew up in nearby Vancouver. And the Golden Knights had success taking an aging pedigreed goalie, Marc-Andre Fleury, in their expansion draft. But Price is the highest-paid netminder in the NHL with an annual $10,500,000 cap hit. Ultimately, the Kraken passed on Price and many other expensive superstars. That's not to say the Kraken are a bunch of nobodies. They nabbed longtime Calgary captain Mark Giordano, he's on the left, with a year left on his contract. He'll be a stabilizing presence, and if worse comes to worse, an attractive trade deadline rental to shop. Jordan Eberle, Yanni Gourde, and Yadin Schwartz have the makings of a fine top line, and the nature of the expansion draft means that the depth is solid. Defenseman Vince Dunn from St. Louis and center Kale Järnkrok from Nashville aren't household names, but their former teams will miss them. Still, this Seattle roster doesn't have the elite talent to terrorize the league right away. What it does have is salary cap flexibility and plenty of cheap, youthful players other teams might trade draft picks for in the future. That's more than the teams trying to dump their overpaid veterans onto Seattle can boast. And it's much more of a head start than the expansion teams of 20 years had. The Golden Knights' 2018 run required a special mix of their savvy and other teams' mistakes. Don't expect Lightning to strike twice, or the Tampa Bay Lightning strike for a third time. Check out our Stanley Cup pick on page 48. And our pollster sports people for this month, we have Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills wide receiver. Fast facts. In his first season with the Bills, Diggs led the NFL in receptions, 127, and receiving yards, 1,535. He was named to his first Pro Bowl. Diggs spent his first 5 seasons with the Vikings. In the 2017 season's divisional playoffs, he scored the Minneapolis Miracle a game-winning 61-yard TD reception as time expired against the Saints. And on the other side, we have Montreal Canadiens goalie Carey Price. Fast facts. Last season, Price led the Canadiens to their first Stanley Cup Finals in 28 years, as he had a .924 save percentage in the playoffs and won 13 games. Price was awarded the Hart Trophy as the NHL MVP in 2015 and won a gold medal for Canada at the Winter Olympics in 2014. His mother, Linda, is chief of the Okotacho First Nation and indigenous people in Anaheim Lake, British Columbia. How about some cartoons? Let's start with SI Kids Treehouse number 10. Fall Ball Doubles Brawl. So are you and Winnie going for the three-peat? No way are we playing together. She's still annoyed at me for winning the editor-in-chief job, which I did fair and square. Maybe you and I could be a team. Sorry, Buzz. I'm the cheer umpire. I'm just here to collect the sign-up sheet after everyone is paired up. Look like there's only one spot left to play with. Whitney? Everyone must have assumed you two were still a team, so what's it going to be? So here they're looking at the teams, Whitney, and he has to go ahead and sign up with Whitney and go ahead and write his name, Buzz. Maybe it won't be so bad. Then they crash on the court. And this is tennis. Not supposed to be any physical contact. That was on my side. Can you even see through those glasses? It wasn't even close. Looks like we're going to have a new champion this year. You may not want to win with me, but I know you don't want to lose to Kip. This may require some outside-the-box thinking. The next morning, I have the solution to all of our problems, a training racket that will synchronize our movements. Well, while you were gluing us to two rackets, I stayed up all night developing a motion sensor app which alerts us when we're about to collide. I still think mine is better. And here they go. Yunk! Ah, they're going after tennis the ball. Oh, they crash into each other. Whoop, wah, slam! Didn't you feel your phone buzz? Buzz? I figured I was just blowing up with text. I've got the gadget you need right here. You want us to sit in these chairs and practice returning the ball with minimal movement? Of course not. She wants us to aim for the chairs to hone our accuracy. I want you to sit down and work out your problems. You two are friends, and this has gone on long enough. I'm sorry I wouldn't stop trying to take over the magazine. Why didn't you want me to be editor? It's just that you were too good at it. I felt like I didn't have a purpose unless I was in charge. Well, I'm sorry I built another treehouse just to get away from you. Nah, I deserved it, and it's a cool treehouse. Friends again? They shake. They dap. They fist pump. You know, there are some awesome things we could do by uniting the two treehouses. Hold that thought. We've got little to defend. Try not to crash into each other this time. As Whitney whacked a tennis ball right to the noggin of their opponent. Later, I just had an idea for the next magazine. The friendship issue. Oh, now you work at the magazine again. I have an idea about that, too. As they're gloating over their first place win, to be continued. Buffalo Bills. Pals Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen are showing the value of teamwork and friendship. Shows a picture here of Stephon taking a picture of Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, again, taking a picture of Stephon Diggs. And it shows them hugging and doing the heart sign. Cheese! Alan and Diggs had some fun with a Polaroid camera at our photo shoot. Back in May 2020, a few months after Stefan Diggs was traded from the Minnesota Vikings to the Buffalo Bills, the wide receiver was talking to Josh Allen, his new quarterback. They were in Florida working out together, and the conversation quickly turned to the good memories they'd shared, which was funny because before that day, they had never met. I think we've known each other longer than what we've actually known each other for, says Allen. For day one, we felt like we had been friends for a very long time. It was a cool feeling. It just clicked, and it's never not going to click. Says Diggs, after 10 minutes, we were talking about old times. Despite the fact that their relationship is relatively new, Allen and Diggs are one of the tightest sets of friends in the NFL. They have a natural bond, and it shows when they're off the field. Their cover shoot for this issue ran long because they were having too much fun goofing off taking Polaroid pictures. And when they're together, they often finish each other's sentences and are constantly joking around. The bond is also apparent on the field. Allen was erratic as a rookie in 2018 and then improved in 2019 as the Bills went 10-6. Last year, though, armed with a legitimate downfield threat for the first time, Allen blossomed into one of the league's best quarterbacks. He completed 69.2% of his passes, tossed 37 touchdowns against just 10 interceptions, and threw for 4,544 yards, more than one-third of which went to Diggs. In his 5 years in Minnesota, Diggs averaged 73 catches per year and was responsible for one of the greatest moments in franchise history. In the divisional playoffs in 2018, he caught a desperation pass in dying seconds and took it home for a 61-yard touchdown to give the Vikings a 29-24 win over the New Orleans Saints. The play was dubbed the Minneapolis Miracle, and it gave Diggs a permanent spot in the franchise's lore. Let's go to end zone. Box score. In a soccer game between the Langley Lemoores and the Bellevue Bullfrogs, Lemoore striker Shinji Tanaka makes a brilliant run toward the net, but misses his shot, sending it just wide of the goal. Bullfrog netminder Robin Schultz hurries to take the goal kick, winding up to boot it before Shinji can even clear the penalty area. Robin shanks the kick, however, and the ball rolls to Shinji, who is just within the top of the 18-yard box. Shinji places the perfect shot into the top corner of the net. The Bullfrogs complain that Shinji can't feel the goal kick in their penalty area. Shinji argues that he wasn't given enough time to clear the box and said it's not his fault. Robin messed up the kick. You're the referee. Does the goal count? We'll have to find out next week. We've run out of the time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.